Netcasting from Chicago, Los Angeles, and Sydney. You're listening to this week's FX Podcast from FXGuide.com.
Hi, I'm John Montgomery. Thanks for downloading this week's FX Podcast. It was a big week at FX Guide. We actually had our most reads ever for our story. It was a story on the X-Men and some of the reverse aging process work done by Lola. We actually ended up getting what's called digged or slash dotted. Basically, it means you get posted on one of those sites and you get so much traffic, it basically brings your site to a screaming halt. I mean, we've got a decent server. It's not the biggest server in the world by any stretch of the imagination, but basically it has the capability of taking down your server. It actually never went down, but it just we had so much traffic, you maybe had to wait 30 seconds to get a page load, because honestly, getting 20,000 people visiting your site in an hour has a tendency to do that. So thanks everyone for whoever passed that link on. It's really pretty cool. Well, we're really excited here at FX Guide to announce that in partnership with Stan Winston Productions, we'll be blogging the entire production process of a VFX film. And that film is The Deaths of Ian. It's a story in which the main character is murdered by horrifying characters, only to wake up the next day and repeat the same process, but in a slightly different way. And those horrifying characters, of course, are being supplied by Stan Winston Studios. And we'll be blogging the film, not just part of it, but from start to finish. And it's really going to be quite incredible, the kind of access we're being given, and to really blog that from the previous stage down to the final seeds and final finishing touches of post-production. That that coverage will be mainly in the FX blog section of our site, so be sure to check back frequently over the coming months to keep up to date on the film. And to that end, Mike Seymour is talking with Mike Pryor of Stan Winston Studios this week. Pryor's head of digital production for the studio, and will likely become a familiar figure to those of you checking out the blog over the coming months. And to start this week, we get a breakdown of the schedule for the production on the film, as well as some of the expectations going into the process. So let's go ahead and pick up the interview with Mike Pryor.
Thanks for that, John. Well, Mike, you're end of the day there for you.
Yeah, end of the day, another busy day here, just getting everything prepped and ready to go over to shoot in London.
So we're incredibly enthusiastic about this chance to work with you. Thanks for that.
No, not at all. It's my pleasure. I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, it should be really good. Now, we're looking at a February release date?
That's the release date so far, yeah.
So is it too early for you to be counting down the days? I guess that happens in post.
Yeah, definitely in post. Right now, since there's a lot of pre-production work, and especially on the practical side, there's a lot of suits and props and prosthetics and appliances and things like that. So things are real busy here on the practical side, just getting things ready for the film.
That's a really interesting thing about the studios, isn't it? That in many senses, the production moves through the studios, because a lot of the work in pre-production is both design but also making things for the shoot. And then after the shoot, of course, it's dealing with the visual and digital side of things.
Yeah, so I mean, for us right now on the digital side, it's not quite as busy. It's figuring out what the body of work is and doing budgeting and designs and boards and things like that. But it's very busy on the practical side, where they have to have everything ready to shoot. That first day of shooting, they have stuff being shot. So they have to be ready, and their busiest time really is in pre-production. And then it calms down and kicks off for us on the digital side after the shoot.
So let's just walk through a quick timeline of what we're going to be looking at over the coming months. Pre-production now. Principal photography starts when?
I believe we start on the 25th of this month.
And then shooting is in, it's in two locations, isn't it?
Yeah, it's various locations around London, but also out on the Isle of Man, which is in the Irish Sea.
And that'll run through to when? When will principal photography hopefully wrap?
That should wrap, I believe it's August 29th.
And then from there...
Retort shoot, actually.
From there, you're going into editorial. How soon do you think until you get a cut that you can start scanning off?
That's a good question. I don't know at this point if the editor's been hired yet, and it kind of depends on, you know, usually you offer, 6 to 8 weeks for a director's cut, and then you start working there. But given our post schedule is not a bad one right now, it's actually not bad at all. So we might wait for that cut to settle down a little bit so that we're not doing work on things that end up out of the film.
Yeah, I guess there's rigging and stuff and modeling that can be done before you need to worry about exact frame counts.
Yeah, exactly. There's definitely some work to do before that cut locks down.
And when are you going out to film? When is the your effective picture lock, effects lock for going out to film?
Going out to film, I personally am trying to deliver it before the end of the year so that we have a little bit of a cushion there. So we'll be looking to go out to film starting, you know, November, December, something like that.
And will there be a DI before that or after that?
Ideally before, and that's another detail, another pre-production detail that has to be locked down, is how many grades we're going to get at it. I mean, ideally we'll get a base grade so that the visual effects plates that we're working on will have a grade that's in the ballpark of what the final grade will be.
Because, you know, Mike, I'm going to keep track of this stuff and come back and hit you in November with... But
I know.
You said...
I know. All the stuff that I'm saying right now is going to come back to haunt me.
No, but it's actually fascinating. I think it's one really great things. It's just like thinking it through as a process at this stage and then seeing it as it moves through production and into post-production. And then the final film will actually premiere in February, right?
Yeah, that's the idea. It's interesting, you know, because usually on a film, you know, if we're lucky enough as visual effects people, if we're lucky enough to get involved with the pre-production, I always find that it's one thing in your imagination, it becomes a different thing as you go to shoot it, and then it becomes different yet again as they cut it together. So I expect a lot of this stuff will change as it evolves.
I remember some famous filmmaker saying that there's the film that's on the page, there's the film that you shoot, and then there's the film you actually cut.
That's very true, yeah.
And there isn't any point holding on to your darlings if it's not working at the edit stage, and so that can require, you know, with the best previs and the best stuff in the world. And speaking of which, are you doing previs for the film?
We're doing a very rough previs. We're not building whole 3D animatics, but rather cutting out storyboards, moving them around in the edit in an editing suite.
Well, we'll get onto that in later weeks. Tell me, can you describe Stan's role other than that of obviously you know, running the company and overseeing everything?
Well, Stan, as a producer, worked a lot with the writer, getting the story just right. He's kind of overseeing every aspect of the film, and he's very involved with the design of our creatures, the execution of them on set. And then he'll be here as we're polishing the digital side of things. So he's a pretty hands-on producer, but his role really is to look after everything.
And so so he'll be overseeing it, but there's actually other work that he's doing. He's not 100% exclusively on The Deaths of Ian, is he?
No, he's got a number of different properties that he's producing, which is his main focus right now is producing. So he is developing and producing other projects, but you know, this is first and foremost right now. And once it calms down a little bit, goes into post, I'm sure he'll be looking to do other things as well.
And your end credit on the film will be what?
My end credit?
Yeah.
Visual effects producer, probably.
And how big?
I can think of something really cool.
Something really cool. How big do you think the team's going to get by the time you get to the end in your side of things?
You know what? Not very big, and of course that's one of those things that will come back to me as you play this interview again. Right now, it's not looking like a real visual effects intensive film, so I don't expect our crew will get more than say 12 to 15 people. But we should check back on that as we are cutting it together, because you know how things come up.
That's plus, of course, the physical effects guys, right?
That's in addition to the physical effects guys. Yeah, right now I think they have about 20, 25 people working on the film.
Okay, well, it's definitely a really interesting project, and I'm wondering, will you be having? I mean, who'll be going on set? I guess what I'm trying to ask. You be going on set? Who's going to be supervising on set?
Actually, a guy named Dennis Michelson, who's based in the UK, is going to be our on-set visual effects supervisor, who I worked with before at the at Jim Henson's Creature Shop. And from this studio also will be Shane Mahan and Lindsay McGowan, who've been here for a number of years, and so they'll be supervising the on-set prosthetics and suits and practical effects.
We'll get into more of this later, but what's your expectation on is it going to be heavier 3D or compositing, or is there any particular area at the moment that is looming in your thinking as the stuff that in post you'll be focused on?
Well, I'd say that the shots fall into two to three main categories, and it has to do with a CG enhancement to a live-action actor, is all I can say right now, because I've got to keep it top secret.
But that's one of the strengths of
really
the studio, isn't it?
It's a real enhancement to actors at this point. That's where they're falling.
That's one of the interesting jobs that you've got in pre-production is deciding what's best done digitally and what's best done with physical effects.
Yeah, that's been actually a really fun aspect for me on this film is I've been learning a lot and learning a lot from Shane and Lindsay where reading the script or I look at a storyboard and I'm thinking, oh, that's definitely digital. And they say, oh, well, wait a second. We can get it in camera if we do this, that, and the other. And so they're able to pull off. And so I've learned a lot.
So just describe to me what it's like at the studio at the moment. Is it all hands to the wheel? I mean, how long do they need to get to ship the stuff to England? Because obviously it's I guess you can air freight it pretty quickly, but there must be some serious deadlines because some of the stuff is quite bulky.
Yeah, they are. It's all hands on deck right now. It's not behind schedule, but it's a very tight schedule. And one of the reasons why is because the casting wasn't locked down until just recently, which is critical for our guys here because they do actual life casts and cyber scans and things like that, making sure that their pieces will fit absolutely one-to-one with the actors' bodies. So without those actors in place, there's only so much that they can do. Now that the film has been cast, it is obviously a lot easier for them to work, but now their time is limited before it goes on a big box and gets shipped over to London.
So how long ago did the life casts and stuff get done?
Yesterday. The last one got done yesterday. The other ones came a little bit sooner than that, but it was interesting. We had the guy who's playing Ian here at the shop, and they did a life cast on his head, and that's always a fun process to watch.
You've done many of those over the years. You were showing me when I was there the Schwarzenegger casts.
Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't say they do it in their sleep, but they certainly know what they're doing, and they move through it quickly.
It must be a tremendous thing for the actor for it to move quickly as well. I can't imagine it's a particularly comfortable procedure.
I think it's critical, yeah, because they're sitting there with nothing on their head exposed except for two little holes for their nostrils, basically. So it doesn't look too comfortable, but strangely, you know, Shane and the guys offered to make life casts of all of our heads if we wanted them, but no one's taken them up on it yet.
Oh, really? Well, that could be good. We got a digital double for you popping up.
Yeah, could have come in handy, actually.
Yeah, and so the production moves over to England, and does the presumably like a large section of support crew goes along to actually implement the makeup and that kind of stuff?
Yeah, it's you know like most of filmmaking, it's a real team effort. You know, it's everyone collaborating together. So Shane and Lindsay will have some help there, but they'll also be working hand in hand with the wardrobe department and with special effects. And with visual effects, we'll have our on-set supervisor. Unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to make the shoot, so I'll probably be working nights back here because I'll be looking after things in the shop here. So
I was wondering about the time zones, whether you'll shift to the shoot's time zone so that you're available for questions and stuff, or it's just a matter of coming in the morning and seeing how things are going.
Well, we'll see how it goes. I mean, if I'm needed, then I'll just start working. You know, starting at midnight till about 9 in the morning.
And so can you just run us through the principal key crew in terms of DOP and production design?
Yeah, the director is Dante Piana.
And he's done some really amazing work. He's definitely been highly decorated in the commercials field at Cannes, and I've seen some of his work. It's gorgeous.
It is. It's really good. And it's interesting to see that the work that he's done is... It always involves effects, so he really knows his way around the set in terms of shooting things for visual effects, which is great. Anytime that he's presented something that we have a slight issue with, he's really adaptable, he's really open to ideas, suggestions, and so he's able to roll with it really quickly. So that's been great. And his DOP is going to be the guy that he uses on all of his commercials. So that relationship is going to be... a nice symbiotic relationship.
Yeah, I noticed that he actually had a background. The director had a background in comics. If you go way back, and certainly a very strong illustrative style with storyboards and stuff.
Yeah.
Have you been inundated with a wealth of really good visual reference at this stage? Because obviously the studio itself has very good artists.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, he's gotten some help now, but to begin with, he was just doing his own boards. And in my opinion, it doesn't get any better than that, because there's not going to be any question as to interpretation of those boards. It is exactly what he's thinking. So that's been nice, getting boards from him. But he's also he's a very, very funny guy and a great cartoonist. So every once in a while, he'll send us some really funny cartoons. So hopefully we can share some of those.
Yeah, that'll be good. And then the production design?
Production designer, I don't know offhand. Amanda MacArthur. I have not worked with her, but that's her name, Amanda MacArthur.
And then you were saying on character design, Stan was getting involved directly himself?
He is. He's involved with the design, as are Shane and Lindsay. They sort of oversee day-to-day our designers here. Joe Pepe and Chris Swift, guys who've been doing it for a while, and I think have come up with some really interesting-looking stuff.
Well, I know we can't talk about it yet, but I look forward to the time that we can start revealing some of the character work and other physical effects work as we move through pre-production into production, and then, of course, the work that your team will be doing in post.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, too. It's going to be a challenge not to to reveal too much.
Well, it'll be a good journey.
It'll be fun.
So thank you so much. We'll talk to you in a week or so, and good luck in getting everything packed up and shipped out for the shoot.
Thanks very much. We'll speak soon.
Well, thanks, guys. Really looking forward to the coming months, seeing, getting that firsthand detail of what's going behind a feature film. Really looking forward to seeing that. Again, what I think is interesting is just the idea of seeing this from the start of production to the finish of production. I think that's going to be really outstanding. For those of you who haven't checked out our new online training site, be sure to do it. That's fxphd.com. We're in the fifth week of the term. But if you want to join now, it's a great time to join. You look at the classes that we have offered this term. There's actually no guarantee that we're going to offer those same kind of classes next term. We're going to basically keep most of the 100-level classes, but the 200-level classes are going to be rotated in and out of the curriculum. So if you see something you'd like to take, I suggest you join this term. When you join, you have full access to the past downloads. So they're really easy to get. You have full access to all the forums and discussions and class files. So really, it's a great time. You can join any time during the term and have full access to all the class materials. Well, that's all the time we have for this week. We really appreciate you taking the time to download and listen to our FX podcast. For Jeff Huser and Mike Seymour, I'm John Montgomery. Talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to this week's FX podcast. Please let us know if you have any suggestions for stories or future podcasts. You can reach us by using the Contact Us links at the top of the homepage. This podcast is copyright 2006 FX Guide LLC. Broadcast or redistribution is prohibited without the expressed written consent of FX Guide LLC.